What's the Takeaway podcast, hosted by Dr. Jackie Gilbert Grant, covers a variety of relevant topics with professional guests. This is the perfect show to learn from different views on national newsworthy topics. The show airs every Saturday at 11:30 a.m.
Good afternoon, wherever you may be. This is Dr. Jackie Gilbert Grant with What's the Takeaway? I want you to call your friends or your neighbors and allow them to know that we are here on our podcast on today, and it's going to be an amazing podcast. I'm so excited about this particular guest that I have with me, and we want you to know that as we cover a variety of relevant topics, and she is indeed a professional. She's a professional. She's the queen of expression. She is a publisher. She's an actress. We're about a million hats, and when we get into this discussion, you're going to find out that this awesome woman is from Lagos, Nigeria, and she has been a blessing to me and so many countless others. Alex Okurji, and she is going to tell us about herself. Welcome, Alex. Welcome. How are you?
Thank you so much, Dr. Jackie. It's an honor to be here in your podcast, and thank you for having me. I'm so excited to, you know, just chat with you and, of course, your listeners.
Yes, good. We are so glad that you're here with us. I have been telling everyone I know about you and talking about how amazing and how patient you were with me when I was publishing my book. And I was about as green as grass, didn't know anything. And you just carried me through that process, and I want to publicly just tell everybody how thankful I am that that book came out in such a tremendous way. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself, Alex?
Well, first of all, let me even say thank you for including me and, you know, for working with me. I think, you know, it's both ways, right? You know, sometimes we get to meet women who have stories to tell and they want to create impact in the world, and you know, I feel like it's a symbiotic relationship, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
So for me, it was just as much an honor, you know, to work with you on that. So who is Alex Okurji? Alex Okurji, they say I'm the queen of expression, but really, I'm an actress. I'm a Nigerian actress, and I am a media personality, a creative consultant, and I run a media company. So I've spent the last almost two decades of my life navigating the art, media, and entertainment space, right? Working and collaborating with organizations and individuals and helping them to reinvent themselves and reinvent their businesses and their brands, and also just develop powerful content, communication, and creativity, and that's pretty much, I'm trying to keep it as simple as possible because I could be saying a lot of things, but in the literal sense, yes, I'm an actress, I'm an author, I'm a radio host, I'm a media personality, I'm a speaker, and you know, I collaborate with multi-passionate people around the world.
Woo, that's a lot. And it's all and it's all good. And just think, there's so much more that you do that you have not really said. But I am so excited. So as my audience will listen to me, they will find out, boy, she is really excited about her being here. But you have been called the queen of expression. What does expression mean to you? And how did your upbringing influence your desire to express yourself?
Well, I would say that, you know, expression is, first of all, you know, I usually would say that expression is communication and primarily communication, but it's also manifestation. And I see, you know, expression as the articulation of your desires. And there's so many ways in which we manifest the things that we want to become or we desire to be, let me put it that way. But in the artistic sense, right, expression is, you know, just the different mediums of art that I use, whether it's or mediums of communication that I use, whether it is, you know, nonverbal, verbal, or visual communication. And the reason that people call me the queen of expressions is because I use all these different forms, whether I am expressing myself as a writer or I'm expressing myself in front of the camera as an actress, or on the microphone as a speaker or radio host, or, you know, I just use all these different forms, you know, audio, visual. I'm utilizing all of that to communicate and empower people to become the highest expression of themselves. And there was something you said, Dr. Jackie, if I could just jump on that a little bit, when you said, oh, you know, there are a lot of things that you're doing and some things you haven't even mentioned. I feel like as humans, we're dynamic, right? We all have, we're dynamic, right? We have all these different things we want to do. You know, and when I was growing up, there was first this concept of, oh, you have to be one thing, right? We're always told, what do you want to become? That's the one thing. Every time you fill out a form, it's like, what do you do? It's that one thing. And for me, it was very difficult because I wanted to be so many different things. And because I grew up in a household where my father is a musician, was a very famous Nigerian musician. My mother is a fashion designer. So I grew up in a home with lots of music, movies, fashion, catalog, books. I saw all kinds of, all forms of expression growing up, right? And that definitely sort of framed and formed who I became, because I saw all these different mediums and I was attracted to all of it. I wanted to be everything, right? So I was the one child that wanted to be everything. And then you, as you grow, you know, society tells you you have to be one thing. You have to go to school to study one thing. You have to become one thing. You're using one, there's just one definition for who you are. You know, not taking into account how dynamic we are as humans, right? And as we evolve, there's so many things we're passionate about. And so it wasn't until, you know, I came to a particular stage where I was like, you know what? I can be multi-passionate. I'm allowed to be multi-passionate. I'm allowed to be multidisciplinary. I'm allowed to be multi-talented. I can utilize all of these God-given talents that I was given. I don't want to be one without the other. I want to be everything. So I think that's where I said I'd enhanced in all of the other talents that I have and utilizing them.
Oh, wow. Yes. Well, how old were you when you started really going after your dream? How old were you?
Okay, so let me see. So this is, okay, well, if you're speaking professionally, but, you know, as a little child, I think I must have been, I would say when I first realized that I had so many different talents, I might have been 9 or so. As a young kid, I was in the drama club. I was, you know, in school, I was in the drama club, I was in the music club, and I was in the press club. And I started writing novels, actually, short stories at the age of 9. And then I remember participating in all these different groups, right? I wanted to dance, I wanted to sing, I wanted to, and everyone thought I would be a musician because my father, you know, was, you know, a famous musician. And, but I kind of rebelled on that. So I decided to join the drama club. And then as I grew older, I actually joined my mother's business for a while. And I was managing the fashion business. I started designing clothes. I was designing clothes at the time. And then, you know, went back to school. And, but I would say professionally, as a professional paid artist.
Right.
I must have been 23.
Young.
23
still very
when
young.
I started.
Yes.
Yes. Still very young, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, still very young. So it must have been 23 when I started professionally as an actress. So my real claim to fame was me starting out as an actor. I was on a television show, on a reality TV show. And then right after that, I started doing soap operas and I did some daytime TV drama, and then after that, I started doing movies. Well, Nollywood, for your listeners, Nollywood would be like the Nigerian film industry. And then right after that, I started hosting a television program on TV. I was presenting, and then did like 3 different programs, daytime TV shows, and then from there to radio, and then back and forth. And so that just, you know, and then of course all the other things. And then I started writing, and then publishing, and. You know, and now we're here.
Right? Yes, yes, you've done it all. Do you think that, I know you did a lot of your work in Nigeria, but do you, have you ever tried to say, get on the Broadway scene in New York or California, bringing your talent to those particular industries here in the United States?
Well, you know, that's where we are right now.
I know.
I didn't think about that. That's where we are right now. So, yes, I mean, that one of my biggest dreams was to do Broadway, right? Mm-hmm. That's been a dream that I've had. You're like, oh, I want to do, you know, musical. I've been thinking. And I think for most actors, especially in Africa, right, you get to a certain level and you're like, okay, you know what? I think I've conquered this industry, or I conquered this local market, and then I want to go global, and I wanted to do so. A lot of things that I started doing was sort of like my entry into the global market, in a sense. I mean, you don't just jump in and just get on Broadway, but you know, for me it was more like, okay, you know what, I'd like to collaborate with a lot of people on other things. You know, I became recently, I think in January this year, I became appointed Director of International Affiliations for the Actors Guild of Nigeria. So the Actors Guild in Nigeria, I'm the Director of International Affiliations. That was a great way to also just get that leadway into collaborating with some of our colleagues at the Screen Actors Guild, you know, here in America, for example, or the Actors Guild in the UK, where they have their they have Equity, which is, you know, representing, you know, the creatives in the UK, and of course the Screen Actors Guild here in you know, in the United States. So yes, I've been thinking about that and other things as well.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, let's get this thing done, because so that Jackie can be a part. I think I can act a little bit. Okay. You know, and you are so multi-talented. You're a woman of influence. Which gift do you get more enjoyment from? Which, out of all these gifts that you have, which one do you get more enjoyment from?
To be honest with you, I don't know. You know, that's like a mother choosing one of her favorites. Like, okay, I have all these kids, and which is my favorite? That's like, I would say, however, you know, like, whether they, you know, they speak to different. So here's the thing. Yeah, they speak to different audience, right? And they speak to different capacity. And they speak to, for me, I think as I've grown older, the talent that I would say, or the talent that I have that I feel I'm most connected to at this stage is the one where I feel like I have 100% control over, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. And that would be maybe writing. And it's funny that I say that, but it would be writing. And only because I think writing is kind of like an underdog, if that makes any sense. It's not as glamorous as being an actor, right? But being an actor, I love being an actor. I love being in front of the camera. But at the same time, I'm also very aware of the sort of not 100% full control that an actor has about a character, if that makes any sense. The character is created by the screenwriter, their directors, they are all other kinds of participants, everybody else that contributes to making a film work, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. But as a writer, I feel like the power that a writer has to bring words to life, it's underrated, right? That you can think something and you can turn that into words. You can turn your thoughts into words, and those words can come alive, which is one of the reasons why, you know, with my company, I started publishing books and working with independent authors, is because there is just, we can't have enough words, right? We can't have enough writers. There's just the place for that. So I would say maybe that's the talent, because it's the underdog. You know, people love the fact that I'm an actor and I get a lot of visibility for that. But, you know, and as an author, when you weave words and you say things and you're able to communicate and express what you're thinking and how you're feeling, and that can impact lives, I would say I get a lot of fulfillment from that. I get a lot of fulfillment from hearing people say, oh, something I wrote touched their lives, or something I wrote, you know, had an impact on them. That is something that definitely does a lot for me.
Yes, I know, and I want my audience to know that you are the publisher of my book, When the Water Breaks. you published me, and you taught me so much. And one of the things I remember so clearly, you emailed me, and I emailed you my script, and then you emailed me back, and you said, you don't have enough words. And I was like, huh? You know, huh? And you said, you want X amount of pages, and for order for you to have that many pages, you got to have this amount of words. And I was blown, because I was like, oh, I didn't know that the amount of words. That, can you explain that to some author that's listening to me? Because I was just blown by it. I said, oh my God.
Well, you know how, you know, so most times books are, you know, when we look at the page count of books, right, the amount of words affect the number of page counts. So depending on how big or small you want the book to be. But also, I would just think a certain level of impact, right? And sometimes there are things that I'm missing. mm-hmm. in terms of how a story transitions or in terms of how they impact, you know, sometimes you feel like something's missing, like, oh, you know, there needs to be something that's happening in between, right? Or something that's taking me to the next level. If it's self-help, for example, you just feel like, okay, there's a transition space and something is missing. And I felt like, even though, you know, the beauty of working with you know, independent authors or self-published authors, many times the author has the liberty to put out whatever they want to put out, right? That is right. the liberty, the freedom that they have. But at the same time, you want to work with people who want to guide them and say, you know what? Yes, even though you're doing this by yourself and you're taking the lead and putting your work out there, you still want to come off as a professional, mm-hmm. right? You want to still be able to show up as a sis, or a traditional publishing house puts you out there, right? If that makes any sense. But mm-hmm. then you also want your readers, because I think the beauty of writing books or writing anything or creating anything at all is feedback, right?
Yes.
Not just feedback, but the impact. Because I say to people, it's one thing you can create a course, for example, and you can have a million people download your course or get access or pay for it. And if you look at it in terms of the money, yes, you've done well, but it's almost pointless if nobody actually follows through and doesn't have that, you know, that transformation or impact that you expect them to by coming in contact with that work. So as a writer, as an author, you want people to come back and say, I read your book and it blew me away, or it helped me, or one part of it spoke to me, or it was relatable or something, mm-hmm. right? You want to feel like they felt transformed. And so my job, my responsibility is to make the author help them to achieve that, you know, through their work. So,
yeah. So if you were, if someone's on this podcast right now is saying, you know, I'm mm-hmm. interested in writing a book, what would be mm-hmm. the first thing, first advice that you would give them about getting started?
What would be the first advice, let me see, about writing a book? I guess the first thing would be, what would they want? The first thing would be right.
Welcome to the Jazuri brand of body oils. Jazuri 24 Karat 5-in-1. The ingredients of this wonderful oil helps to exfoliate, soften, and moisturize. It is quick absorbing and has anti-aging elements that give your skin a youthful appearance. Jazuri Bliss has a glossy, satiny feel. It hydrates the body and helps you feel refreshed. Jazuri Ignite. This is a body oil for men. The secret to this oil is the honey that helps protect, repair, and prevent skin damage. Jazuri Pink Ice. The smell of sweet jasmine is the dominant floral fragrance that you will smell. It's rich in emollients, with a touch of vitamin E, which helps to rejuvenate your skin and lighten scars. Jazuri Sugar and Spice. Experience the dazzling sugar crystals combined with our rich oils that will exfoliate and help clear up dry skin, making your skin to be alive again. Learn more at www.jazuribrand.com. Email info@jazuribrand.com.
Right. You know, because here's the thing. So many people think about doing this but never do it, right? They mm-hmm. think, oh, you know, I want to write a book, but they're afraid to take that first step. And the first step really is right. Just that writing. No way to be perfect. No way to have the perfect words. No way for everything to be, you know, people want to wait till when they have all the resources, or they have the money, or they have the agent, or they mm-hmm. have, you know, there's so many reasons why people never really do it. So my first advice would be write. Just start writing. Write, you know, write it rough, write it how, write it, you know, wherever. Just start. Start from somewhere. And then as you go, the next step would be to already have an end in mind in terms of what would you want the reader to take away. I think that's maybe because of a little bit of marketing in my head, but my thought would be, what would you want the person to read to feel? What would you want them to take away? I think I like the name of your podcast, by the way. It's like, what's the takeaway?
Yes.
That's... So I would say, what would be the takeaway? And use the takeaway to frame your book, in a sense, you know, break it up into chapters, but have the takeaway in mind as, you know, the real purpose for the book, and then write along that line, pretty
yeah.
much.
Yeah. So I'm still here with the author part, because there's somebody, and including myself, I'm getting ready to write another book. And so sometimes you just, like you said, just start writing. You're writing, but you don't really have a title. That's where I am. I'm writing, but I don't really have a title. You know, does titles always have to be a little catchy? Something that, you know, caught the attention of the people? Or how does that really work?
Well, you know, obviously, titles have to be, there would be the first magical piece, right? Mm-hmm. But I would say don't worry about a title until you're done writing the book. Sometimes you find the title inside the pages. Sometimes the title will come right after you're done or somewhere, you know, in the middle of when you're done. But yes, the title, not necessarily that it needs to be catchy, but it needs to be something that would speak to someone, to a reader, because that's the first thing they come in contact with, right? It's the first thing, the name of the book, and then maybe the cover of the book. And why do I want to read this, right? So the name must definitely catch my attention. Right, or catch or relate to something that I need. So again, depending on the type of book that you're writing, if it's fiction, obviously it has to be catchy. If it's nonfiction and maybe self-help, it needs to be something that speaks to what people need or desire for themselves. So I would say around that, yeah, along that line, pretty much.
Okay, Alex, would you tell them what's the name of your publishing company? There's somebody I know that's listening, and they're probably saying, oh gosh, I'm ready. How could they get in touch with you? The name of your publishing company?
Well, they can go to the Bragg Media Company, which is thebraggmediacompany.com. And if they go there, they can see some of the services that we offer. Of course, one of that is publishing, helping you to self-publish your books. Yeah, so they can just go there, you know, go to there or just send us an email, hello@thebraggmediacompany.com. Brag, because we're bragworthy. We believe you're bragworthy. Mm-hmm. We help you create anything we're bragging about. So they can go to hello, they can write hello@thebraggmediacompany.com or go to thebraggmediacompany.com, and, you know, they will be able to contact us from there. So, yeah.
Okay, that's good. Because I think with this being right at the first of the year, a lot of people are going to start going after their dreams and their
goals.
Passions and everything like that, and making their goals work. So give me some advice to the woman or the man that is striving to be successful in 2022, especially those entrepreneurs or those of us that now want to go into acting and actress.
Well, you know, and whatever else it is they want to go to, I would say just take action, right? The first thing is, you know, pretty much find someone. Well, the first thing, and that really depends on what stage you are, but if you're, I would say find people who already are, walking in the lane that you want to walk in. If you want to be an author, find authors, you know, people who write books that you would like to write, right? If you want to be an actor, find an actor who you admire and watch what they do, and maybe connect with them, ask for advice, ask for support. Just find people who are already thriving in the area that you want to do better, you know, and get their support and just take action. Because I think a lot of the times people just talk about doing things but never really take the action. The first step would be find a mentor. Now, the mentor doesn't have to be somebody you know personally or up close. It could be from a distance, but just reach out and take it from there.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess my other concern that I want to ask from you is that does that work the same way you said about an actress? But what about do you think we have to go to like Hollywood or Atlanta? How can that work? You know, because you hear so many people say, I'm packing my bags and I'm going to Hollywood, you know, or I'm packing my bags and I'm going to New York. How can a person like where I am sitting in Georgia, of course we got Atlanta right next to us, but sitting in Georgia, how can I do this through, say, social media? Because sometimes now it seems like social media is the way to go. Can we possibly get connected?
Well, yes, you can get connected. And like I said, you know, you don't have to. I know people want to just pack your bags and go to Hollywood, for example, but start from where you are, right? Start from the local market, start from the local, you know, their local films, and, you know, their people shooting films in Atlanta or in Georgia, or, you know, just the next, like, just start from that. Start from your community project. Start from somewhere. Because you need
you need at least some kind of experience, right? You don't just pack your bags and go to Hollywood and become an A-list Hollywood actor. So you start from somewhere. You take that experience that you have working in your local environment, the local community, and of course connecting to people even in that local community who are doing very well, right? Mm-hmm. And then having those relationships and having a little bit of work experience, having some credits, right, to your name, because you definitely want to have shown up in a couple of projects. And then when it's time to, you know, there's always that time to, you know, to step into your next level, right? And then when it's time to step into the bigger leagues or to step into the next level, they just move. So I would really suggest, the other thing is social media is a great way to connect, because, you know, it just connects us all, right? We're living in a global village right now. Yeah. I had a lot of clients that I was working with, even though I spend time in Nigeria and that's where I'm from. I have a lot, you know, I was running a company and I'm going, you know, traveling everywhere, but I was, you know, a lot of my clients are in the U.S., right? They're in America or here. And, you know, they're everywhere. They're in the U.K., they're in Canada, they're in Australia. Social media just really connects all of us. So if there's anyone looking to do that, that's the first phase. And I would say this, there's something that I'm working on that is helping people connect, you know, connect more people. For example, I became the global chair for G100 Media Arts and Communication, and we're creating like chapters in like 100 countries. And what we're doing is really connecting women in the media arts space, whether they're in creative media or broadcast media or print media or news media or interactive digital electronic media, whatever form of media that they use. We're creating sort of like these sister circles, right, of, you know, of connection and coalition and collaboration across 100 countries.
Oh, wow. That sounds very interesting. Oh, okay. So when will this take off? In 2022?
It's already taken off. It's taken off pretty much. Appointing countries and we're getting volunteers, ambassadors and directors. And it's a massive project, actually. The bigger G100 is really on a mission to, you know, connect women. Mm-hmm. Women and, you know, and you know, he for she champions, and, you know, we're really looking at how to amplify the United Nations SDGs, which is gender equality. And really what we're just saying is include more women and, you know, more, you know, just, you know, thinking just that sort of gender equality. And what G100 is doing really is, G100 has been split into 100 sectors. Right. And so there are 100 sectors, 100 women leading these different 100 sectors across the globe. And each country chair, global chair is appointing country chairs in 100 countries. And so we're building these sectors, because when we talk about women empowerment, for example, many times I think we just throw a blanket statement. But really, women cannot be empowered if they don't have economic empowerment. Right. Because we are center of the economy. We are, you know, the ones spending the money in our homes, we're making decisions, buying decisions, we're doing, you know, and so we need, you know, women need to be empowered, not just socially, but economically as well. So I think one of the beauty of this is splitting the sectors, having all of these sectors and saying we need more women engaged in these sectors at the policy making level, right? We need more women. So that's pretty much what it is. And so it's taking off already. There are already 100 global chairs. And of course, I'm global chair for one of these sectors, which is the media, arts, and communication sector. And we're already started establishing country chapters already, and our, you know, directors, and just women of impact at every level, you know, across the world. So it's taken up already.
Okay. Well, that sounds really good. And I think that if you would send me that information, I can disseminate it around in the area where I am, because I'm not sure that everybody in Georgia, and more specifically Savannah, knows about this, and I can really put
it out there.
Yeah. So that would be good.
No, we're pretty young in terms of, you know, but it, like I said, it kicked off this year. And one of the reasons I'm here right now in the, you know, in the United States is because I had a meeting with the United Nations, and we had a couple of meetings. It was part of the G100 meetings. So, of course, you know, it's open to everyone. It's free membership. There's no, you know, we're just including more women. We're saying, hey, just be involved. Let's amplify our voices and our impact. And my sector is great because whether you're a writer or an author or a publisher, an actor or a filmmaker or a singer, whatever form of media domain in the media space that you own or you operate in or you work in or you're passionate about, you know, you're welcome. So that's why I'm excited.
All right. Well, we got to tap in on that. I really want to tap in on that. So if you send that info to me, I will definitely spread it around, at least in my hometown, so those that are interested can be a part. I have one more thing I want to talk to you about. You have an international talk show titled The Naked Truth. And
Naked
Truth, is that it? Yes.
The Naked Talk. The Naked Truth is my book, but the show is The Naked Talk.
Okay, The Naked Talk. Okay, let me ask, because you use that word naked a lot. So is it about being... Is it about being transparent, or what is it? Why? Because I noticed you, even when you're on your Facebook page and everything, you got the naked truth, the naked talk, the naked this, the naked that. Okay, tell me about this naked thing.
Well, so the whole concept, the whole idea of naked really is being open, right? Is without barriers and restriction and boundaries. And it's just really being transparent and honest, right? Authentic. That's what naked is. And this really started a few years ago, right? I had something what I call the naked philosophy, right? Mm-hmm. But it started with me having a naked conversation with myself.
Right? Okay.
And that was just that honest, that point where you go, where you have an honest, authentic, transparent conversation with yourself. And this happened because I was going through a challenge at the time. Mm-hmm. I think at the time my marriage just ended. I had a baby. I was at the peak of my career as an actress. And then, you know, my marriage wasn't working. I had this little baby. I just had my baby. We're 6 months old. And, you know, and because of the career that I have and being that my life was really always in the public, divorce as well was public. Put it that
yes,
way. So
yes.
People had something to say. It's like, and because of the African culture and just how, you know, I was raised and how we're raised, marriage is, and just, you know, even as a Christian, you know, you see that as failure, right? I just failed publicly. And think about societal expectations. And it just dawned on me that for so many years of my life up till that moment, I had been living for people. I had been living for the public. I'd been living based on the public perception or image that I wanted people to have of me, as opposed to who I really am. That transparent, honest person that I, you know, and so that just was a transition, what I like to call a moment where I reinvented like myself. I was like, okay, you know what? I want to be who I really am. I want people to hear my voice. I want people to hear. I want to just be who I am. I don't want to be this image of this sex symbol or actress or this or anything that anybody ever thought about me up until now. I just want to be a human being.
Right.
Transparent, original, authentic. And that's where the whole concept of the naked movement started, because then I wanted more people to be that way. And so what happened was I started with writing a blog where it was called Alexandra Her Naked Thought at the time, but I was just sharing my honest, authentic, transparent thoughts. And I think for a lot of people were reading that and were like, oh my God, you're speaking my mind. You're speaking on my behalf. You're saying things I'm not bold enough to say. Oh my God, Alex, this is what I go through. This is how I feel, right? Mm-hmm. And what that did for me, it was a healing process for me as well, because it just seemed like, it just made me realize I wasn't alone. I wasn't the only one thinking the things that I was thinking or feeling the things that I was feeling. But there was a massive community out there. And then, of course, it just also encouraged more people to be authentic and to be themselves and to just be okay with not being perfect and to be okay with having the challenges that they have and admitting it and accepting it and just being who they really are. So that went on to me now started writing my book called The Naked Truth, where, of course, the same philosophy, but then the radio show, because I then wanted to bring in more people to share their own experiences and their own authentic stories, right? Real authentic experience of some of the things that they've been through. So yeah, that's how that started.
Oh, okay. But I love it. I love it, because if we can really be honest and transparent, I think we can get so much more accomplished. I really do. But sometimes we are so afraid of putting ourselves out there full force because we are afraid of what people will say or what they may even possibly do. But I knew that there was a story behind all of this nakedness. And I wanted to get to it. And I wanted to make sure that everybody else know. Alex, listen, if somebody is trying to get in touch with you, give us some contact information.
Well, they can go to my website. It's Alex Okoroji, my name, my first name and my last name, me. Or they can just write me, hello@alexokoroji.me. Or on social media, I'm Alex Okoroji everywhere. So, you know, they can just connect with me on social media or go to my website or send me an email. That would be a great way to connect.
Okay, that sounds great. That sounds great. Okay, so we've had a nice little chat. Now, what I want you to do is tell me, what's the takeaway that you want my audience to leave with?
Well, the takeaway would be, let's see, expression is a sign of strength, not weakness. Don't be afraid to express yourself. I guess that would be the takeaway. The Queen of Expression would say, you know, expression is a sign of strength, not weakness. Use as many mediums or platforms you have to communicate who you are, to communicate your truth, but also to manifest the things that you desire in the world.
Okay. All right. Thank you. This has been great. I miss you. We used to have time when we talked so much, and
yes.
Now we got to get that back together because I want to try to tap into some of the things that you're doing globally, because you are a global mm-hmm. sensation, and I am really pleased to be able to say I know her. So I am just glad that you had the time to take while you're in the States to talk with me. When you go back to Nigeria, make sure you do greater things, and we will go ahead and push it for you as much as we can here in the United States. We want everybody to know on the What's the Takeaway, this show, you will learn from different views on an international level. And today we have an international guest with us. This podcast airs every Saturday at 11:30 a.m. So make sure you tell your friends and everyone to tune in every Saturday at 11:30 a.m. Brought to you by Jazuri Brand Essential Body Oils. God bless you and have the rest of a great day.
What's the Takeaway podcast, hosted by Dr. Jackie Gilbert Grant, covers a variety of relevant topics with professional guests. This is the perfect show to learn from different views on national newsworthy topics. The show airs every Saturday at 11:30 a.m.